And please keep Ruth chapter 1 open on page 262. And there's a brochure for the taking of notes today. And as I go along today, I will mention some headings that you can write down as we go through looking at chapter 1 in particular. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How many people here watch the television show Home and Away? Okay, a couple of you. Well, I must say that I've seen Home and Away for 30 seconds at a time, but I don't think I've ever watched an episode of Home and Away. It doesn't really appeal to me, I must say. But Home and Away is, of course, an Australian television soap opera. It was created by a man called Mr. Alan Bateman back in January 1988. Okay, that's when it was created, back in 1988. And did you know that Alan Bateman came up with the idea of Home and Away after a visit to Sylvania? Did you know that? In fact, specifically, he was visiting Kangaroo Point, to be exact. And his time in Kangaroo Point gave him the inspiration for this particular television show. And Home and Away has become the second longest running drama series in Australian television. And for those of you who watch it, Home and Away follows the lives of residents in a fictitious location called Summer Bay. Summer Bay, a fictional seaside town in New South Wales. Now, why is the show called Home and Away? Well, it's called Home and Away because the characters in the series come and go. All right? They come and go, which is why it's called Home and Away. They go away and they come back. And we know in our own lives that going away and coming back can be very much part of the rhythm of our lives. We go away and we come back. Excuse me, Sharon Foster, you've been away and in Europe and you have come back. Les and Elizabeth, you've been away ill and now you've come back. When we think about it, going away and coming back is very much part of the rhythm of our lives. And when we come to the book of Ruth, we see that going away and coming back is very much a part of the storyline of the opening chapters of the book of Ruth. In fact, in chapter 1, the word return is used 12 times in the first chapter to emphasize what is happening upon the return of Naomi and her daughters-in-law, or at least one of her daughters-in-law, back to Bethlehem. And if you're following the outline, which is blank at the moment, our first heading is losing everything. Losing everything. Well, as the story of Ruth begins, we learn that it takes place in the days of the judges. Verse 1. It takes place in the days of the judges. Now, you'll remember that the judges occur very early in the storyline of the Old Testament. At the beginning of the Old Testament, as you can see on the screen, God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve rebel against God, and we can see that not only in the sinfulness of Adam and Eve, but we can see that in the flood of Noah and in the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. But God remembers his creation, and he makes promises to a man called Abraham. And he says to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. But the nation of Abraham, the family of Abraham, that becomes the nation of Israel, are held in slavery in Egypt for 400 years until Moses leads them out of Egypt and brings them to the promised land. In fact, it's Moses' successor, Joshua, who brings the people into the promised land. And Joshua leads the people into the promised land, and you would think that they have returned home, okay? They've been away and now they've come home. You would anticipate that things would be well. But the book of Judges reminds us that things did not stay well for the people of God when they came to the promised land. In fact, we see in the book of Judges a cycle of ongoing sinfulness and rebellion against God. And here is the cycle on the screen. All this helps us to understand the book of Ruth. We see in the book of Judges that Israel sins, God judges Israel's sinfulness, Israel cries for mercy, God provides a judge, like Samson, for example, and then the land is at peace. But then the nation of Israel sins again. And this cycle just keeps going on and on through the book of Judges. And we're told when we come to the book of Ruth is after the book of Judges, we're told that the story of Ruth takes place during this very tumultuous time in Israel's history. Have a look again at verse 1 in your Bibles, chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land. Now, why was there famine in the land? Well, it's because God's people had sinned yet again, and God was judging his people. That is why there was famine in the land. There wasn't supposed to be famine in the promised land. But because Israel had sinned again, God judged them, and there was famine. And have a look at what happens in verse 1. A man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained in Moab. Notice what happens. Elimelech and Naomi do not stay in the promised land. They do not stay in Bethlehem. In order to survive the famine, they choose to go to enemy territory. Moab was an enemy of Israel, and this man Elimelech thinks that he's going to be better off in Moab, in enemy territory, than staying in God's territory. Right? What Elimelech should have done is to stay in Bethlehem. That's what he should have done. He should have stayed and trusted in God. But the fact that he goes to Moab shows that he doesn't trust God. Elimelech's name actually means, my God is the king. But Elimelech doesn't listen to his own name. Instead, he doesn't trust God the king. He trusts his own logic. And he takes Naomi to Moab. And because he leaves Bethlehem and goes to Moab, things go from bad to worse. We're told that Elimelech dies, and in time, both his sons die as well, leaving three widows behind. Now, that's very dramatic, isn't it? What a tragedy. Three married couples three deaths, three funerals and burials, and now we have three widows. What will Naomi do? Well, this is where we come to our second heading today, going home, going home. Verses 6 to 18 talk about going home. Verse 6, Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law to return to from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi reminds me of the prodigal son. You remember the parable of the prodigal son? The prodigal son runs away from the father to a foreign land, spends all the money, the inheritance that he has, and then ends up feeding pigs, and then realizes that he could have a much better deal back home if he just returns home. Well, Naomi comes to her senses. She's heard that the Lord has visited her people and that the famine was over. And so she concludes that there's only one realistic thing to do, and so she goes home. But notice that she doesn't go home alone. She goes with her two daughters-in-law. Verse 12. Have a look at verse 12. But she says to the daughters, "Turn back, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Notice what Naomi is like. She is depressed. She is discouraged and disillusioned. She expects little from God, and she also expects little from her daughters-in-law. And sometimes Christians can make the mistake of elevating Naomi to a great model of faith in the story of the book of Ruth. But actually, Naomi, her faith is hanging on by a thread. She's not a great model of faith, at least not here in chapter 1. In her depressed state of mind, Naomi thinks that Ruth and the other daughter-in-law are better off going back to Moab, better off going back to the godless country of Moab than returning with her to Bethlehem. But this is where we come across Ruth's astonishing response. Verse 16, But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." This is a glorious declaration of faith from the lips of Ruth. In fact, it's one of the great declarations of faith in the Old Testament, of any believer in the Old Testament. She says, "Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Notice that her words, Ruth's words, are not primarily words of loyalty to Naomi. That's another mistake Christians can make. She's not primarily loyal to Naomi, she's primarily loyal to God. Somewhere along the line, she's come to understand that the God of Israel is the true God. And we're told in verse 17, she says, "May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." She makes a promise. She makes a vow. And she makes the vow in the name of Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel, the God of redemption. And once again, it's ironic, isn't it, that here you have a Moabite woman who has more faith in the God of Israel than Naomi. Naomi is an Israelite. But Ruth has more faith in the God of Israel than Naomi. And there's a lesson here to be learnt, isn't there? There's a real contrast between Naomi and Ruth here in chapter 1. I'm not saying that Naomi doesn't have faith in God, but her faith is very weak. But Ruth, who comes from a pagan, godless country, now expresses a firm trust and commitment in the Lord God of Israel. By the way, do you remember the terrible origins of the country of Moab? Do you remember? In your studies of the Old Testament, where Moab came from? Anyone tell me? Where did Moab come from? Well, this is something that kids are not taught in Scripture. But in the book of Genesis, you might remember that Abraham has a nephew called Lot. And Lot goes and lives with his wife and daughters in Sodom. God brings destruction upon Sodom, but saves Lot and his wife and his two daughters. But what happens to the wife? She turns back and is turned into a pillar of salt. Remember that? Lot and his daughters go off and live in a cave. And Lot's daughters get their father drunk and have sex with their father so that they can become pregnant. And one of the daughters of Lot is the mother of the Moabites. So the Moabites come from an incestuous background between Lot and one of his daughters. Okay? So that casts a new light on the story, doesn't it? Ruth comes from a godless, pagan, terrible nation. But she finds God. Or better still, God finds her. And she expresses more faith in the God of Israel than Naomi does. Well, let's continue the story. Oh, by the way, do you know what Ruth's name means? Anyone know? Ruth's name means, it's a beautiful meaning, it means friend. That's what Ruth means. If you've got a friend called Ruth, you can just say, "Hello, friend." Okay? Because Ruth means friend or companion. And that's exactly who Ruth is to Naomi. Ruth is a companion to Naomi. And she demonstrates to Naomi loving kindness to her mother-in-law by going back home to Bethlehem with her. And we're going to see next week that there's someone else that shows loving kindness to Naomi. Boaz will show loving kindness to the family of Naomi. And even more than that, God himself will show loving kindness, or steadfast love, the Hebrew word, steadfast love to the family of Naomi. But I'm going off on a tangent. So Naomi and Ruth return to the town of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means house of bread. That's what the town Bethlehem means, house of bread. About 1,000 years later, someone would come along from Bethlehem and say, I am the bread of life. That's significant, isn't it? But again, I'm getting ahead of myself here. If you're taking notes, our next heading is arriving home. Arriving home. Verse 19. So the two of them went on their way until they came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Now that word Mara is a significant word. It takes us back to the book of Exodus when the people complained before God, grumbled before God that God did not give them water in the wilderness. And so they were bitter. And now Naomi calls herself bitter. She calls herself empty. But of course she's not empty because she's got Ruth. And as we're going to see next week, she not only has Ruth, but she also has a block of land in the town of Bethlehem. And that block of land in the town of Bethlehem is going to be very significant. And so we come to the end of chapter 1 and verse 22. Have a look. Verse 22, Naomi and Ruth came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So at the beginning of chapter 1, there is famine in the land. But at the end of chapter 1, there is a harvest. Notice how things have changed since Naomi has gone away but has come home. Going away and coming back are part of the rhythm of life. But it's also part of the story of the book of Ruth and part of the whole Bible story. Because when you go through the whole Bible, you see just how often people go away and come back. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden and they are sent away. The people at the Tower of Babel are making the Tower of Babel and they are scattered. The family of Abraham, well, Abraham leaves his homeland to go to Canaan, doesn't he? And the family of Abraham go to Egypt and after 400 years of slavery, come back. And as we've seen in the book of Daniel recently, the people of Jerusalem go into exile to Babylon and then they come back. The prodigal son goes off to a far country and then he comes back. The Bible is full of home and away stories. Much time, much better spent reading your Bible than watching Home and Away, I must say. Right? But I want you to understand that along with me, that the Bible is full of home and away stories. And right in the middle of the home and away in the Bible is Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus, God will bring people who trust in Jesus back home to him. Years after Ruth and Naomi, God would do something remarkable in Bethlehem that would change the lives not simply of a town, but of a whole world. And whoever we are, however far we've travelled from God, we can always heed God's call and turn our thoughts to home and come back to him. Because God made us, he loves us and has rescued us from sin and death by his son Jesus. He alone can fill our lives. He alone can determine our futures. We can put our trust in Him, just like Ruth put her trust in God. Now, if you were looking and listening very carefully to that children's animation, you would have heard the lovely story of how Ruth, when she marries Boaz, and we'll see about that next week, hear about that next week, but when she marries Boaz, they have a baby boy called Obed. Okay, we don't use that name often, do we, Obed? But and Obed becomes the great-grandfather of King David. And King David, of course, is the great-great-great-great-grandfather of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you had said to Ruth in chapter 1, Ruth, if you go back home to Bethlehem with Naomi, you'll end up married to a man and you'll end up having a son who will be the ancestor of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you think Ruth would have gone back to Bethlehem? Of course she would have, if she knew that. But she didn't know that. She simply acted by faith in the God of promises. And through her faithful obedience, God used Ruth, the Moabite, in an incredible way. That's remarkable, isn't it? Her faithful obedience led to God using her as the great-great-grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. You never know how our small acts of obedience and faithfulness are going to be used by God, do you? You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes we think that we're so insignificant. What is my life? Of what use is my life to God? Sometimes we might ask ourselves. However, that act of kindness, that word of empathy and compassion, that committed ministry that you've poured yourself into for years, might bear fruit in such remarkable ways that you'll only see it in heaven. I love the book of Ruth because it reminds me that God can use insignificant people like us. Ruth was a very insignificant woman. But God used her faithful obedience to bring about the salvation of the world. I wonder what we're going to discover when we get to heaven about how God has used our lives. Well, God will use our lives in remarkable ways, but we need to keep trusting in Him. Saint Augustine, that early church bishop, once said these words. He said, praying to God, "For you have made us for yourself, and restless are our souls until they find their rest in you." Ruth found her rest in God, and we can as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious story of Ruth, this true story that we've just skimmed the surface of this morning. We pray that as we continue to explore it next week, that you might help us to wonder at your grace, and that we might see afresh how you planned for the salvation of ourselves and of your world, through ordinary people and ordinary events. Help us to grow in our trust in you. Help us not to be bitter. Help us not to be resentful. Help us not to be like Naomi. Instead, help us to be like Ruth, whose faith is an example and directs our attention to the greatest person of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and who rose again. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.